All right. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. Real short verse here, and that's all I'm going to deal with tonight here. But the Bible says here, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." All right, now, this chapter, like I've said so many times, it's dealing with moral law. It's laying out what God considers right and wrong, good and evil. It's moral issues. "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," it says in verse 2. And that is the underlying principle of the whole chapter here. Everything else he deals with, that's what he's talking about. You shall be holy. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Do this. "Ye shall be holy. Ye shall be holy, as I am holy. For I am the Lord thy God. I, the Lord thy God, am holy." So, all the matters mentioned in this chapter are moral issues. They're not religious rituals or practices. That's not what he's dealing with here. My Sabbath, my sanctuary. It's moral issues. It's not just religious things that he wants us to do. Now, y'all understand that. He's talking about things that are morally right and morally wrong. Like adultery and stealing and murder and lying and all that stuff's wrong. These things here are wrong if you do not obey what he said. "You shall reverence my sanctuary." You don't do it. It's immoral. It is wrong in the sight of God. And he'll hold you guilty of sin because you didn't regard what he said. And you didn't believe what he said, and you didn't obey what he said. They have to do with things that violate moral law, which is God's standard of right and wrong, or good and evil. Moral law. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. You know, it's moral issues. It lets us know what is right and wrong. It's not up for anybody's own interpretation.
Right.
We don't know what's right and wrong by the Lord convicting us about it. We know what's right and wrong because of what the Bible says.
That's right.
"Thus saith the Lord." And that's what makes it right or wrong. Not how I feel about it. Not what I think about it or how I interpret it or how I reason it out. It's still wrong before you're ever convicted of it.
Oh, yeah.
Being convicted just means you finally understand what God said.
Exactly.
Holiness is more about the basic character and disposition of the soul and spirit than about the certain things that are mentioned here. Immorality, morality, that's what we're talking about. But "ye shall be holy." Why is a person immoral? Because something's wrong in here.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is when things are right in here.
Amen.
And then you don't do those things that are bad on the outside. See, first cleanse the inside of the platter, that the outside may be clean also. I mean, if you're clean on the inside, the outside will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is clean on the inside. Now, there's no such thing as being clean on the inside and dirty on the outside. There's no such thing as being clean in heaven, but on earth we're just still a real rotten sinner. That is nonsense, not the truth. It's wicked heresy is what it is. You're either clean or not clean. He either cleanses you from all sin or he don't cleanse you at all.
Amen.
And so holiness is more about basic character, what you are on the inside. So there's something wrong in the soul of a person who doesn't regard these things or who makes light of them or who defends the practice of them. This verse is talking about the Sabbath and the sanctuary. "You shall keep my Sabbaths." Well, now we've already preached a message out of this chapter on the Sabbath, and so there's no need in going into detail about it again here. Verses 1 through 3, we talked about the Sabbath right out of the gate in this chapter. Because he said it there again. "You shall keep my Sabbath. I'm the Lord." And we talked about it then, how it was a moral issue. But I need to say again, regarding the Sabbath, that it is a moral issue, not a religious observance. It's one of the Ten Commandments. which is the basic moral law of God. And he expounded more in Exodus 20 on the Sabbath than he did on any of the other commandments. Four verses on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. This is in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, or thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord blessed the Sabbath, seventh day, and blessed it, and hallowed it. The Sabbath is not a burden or a sacrifice. It wasn't put on us to be a burden or a sacrifice. It's not something that we just have to do. Oh, I sure do dread Sunday. It shouldn't be that way. You're not right with God if it's that way in your heart. You don't understand. You've missed the whole point of it all. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Did you get that? The Sabbath was made for man. It's about time. It's a division of time. What does God care about time? He's not locked into time. We are. Right. That's why he made the Sabbath for us. He set apart the seventh day for us. Right. So we could rest. So we could get away from all of our labor and toil and all the cares of life. We're supposed to put all that aside on the Lord's day.
Yep.
And think about other things. Come to church. Be with God's people. Spend time resting away from the labor and not sitting in church thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do, and how I'm going to fix this, and how I'm going to do that. You're not regarding the Sabbath if you do that.
That's right.
Need to lay that stuff down. The Sabbath was made for man. God designed the Sabbath for the blessing and the benefit of man. You need to really get that. That's a basic understanding about the Sabbath day. That God made it for our blessing and for our benefit. It helps us more than you know to be able to just forget everything else. One day a week.
Right.
Just think about God. Go to God's house. The Word of God. Spend time with the family. Resting.
Yeah.
It's for rest from our labors and refreshment for our soul and body. The Sabbath's for your soul and the Sabbath's for your body too. You need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work 7 days a week. It'll wear you out.
That's right.
Not made to do that. It's not right to do that. God didn't make us to do that. And the moral law of God says it's wrong to work 7 days a week. You need to rest. To keep us from being slaves to time. Well, I'm going to hurry. It includes everybody from all levels of society. Everyone is to rest, not just a privileged few. I mean, he said, not thou, thy son, daughter, manservant, maidservant, cattle. Even the cattle, the animals, are not supposed to work. They're supposed to get a rest. Put your horse up. Yeah. And they benefit greatly from it. They need to rest too. Don't you feel sorry for the horses? I mean, everybody's complaining about the past and how their people were mistreated. What about them horses? They got treated rough and abused, and their life was a hard life. But God made provision for even them. And his moral law said you need to let them animals rest. It's the moral law of God. It's not right if you work them on the Lord's day also. Well, this is a lost thing on our world today. Nobody pays any attention. But they did that in Israel too for 70 years and they paid for it for 70 years. To help us with our faith by showing us how he'll bless those who keep the Sabbath. You know, these businesses, I mean, it's such a real thing. It's such a real truth that even these businesses that come out and they say, we're not going to be open on Sunday, they prosper, don't they? More than those who stay open on Sunday. It's an obvious fact. So the Sabbath is a way for us, for God to prove to us our faith. See? You obey Him. You believe Him. You do what's right. Don't think of all the money you could be making on Sunday. You know, it'll all come out crooked on you. Close her down. Put everything away. Rest on the Lord's day. All right. Sabbath. That's all I'm going to say about that. Here's what we're going to talk about. Ye shall reverence my sanctuary. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I'm the Lord. All right. Now, this is not about reverencing a place or religious objects. A lot of people do that. You know, they think the building is it deserves some kind of spiritual, I don't know how to say it, but the building is not the church. The building is not the sanctuary, really. Now, the building is where the people meet, but it might be, you know, we may be meeting under a tree someday. And it'll still be the sanctuary. Listen to me. This is not about reverencing a place or religious objects, but it's speaking of the meeting place of God and His people. It's the meeting place of God and His people. And we're to reverence the sanctuary. So the statement itself here proves that there is to be a designated place where God's people meet together in God's presence. The church is not, some people think the church is not a building, so it's just invisible, and it's everybody that's saved in the world is the church. Well, not yet. That's not the way it is. Right now, it's the local church is the church, the meeting place, the sanctuary. This is the sanctuary tonight here. It's where we meet with God, where we meet with one another in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Reverence. My sanctuary. You better put an importance and a reverence on the place where you meet. Mm-hmm. It's not just any old place. Sure. So if there is a place where we're to meet, a designated place, that means that a lake or a river or the woods are not places we can call the sanctuary. Amen?
Amen.
Down at the creek, that's not the sanctuary. No. The church, the sanctuary, the place where God's people meet is different than where you go to pray or where you have a Bible study or something like that. Well, that means that where two or three are met together, that does not constitute a church or a sanctuary of God. Don't let people cram that down your throat. That's not true. And it's unlearned ignorance and rebellion, really, at the Word of God for people to claim, well, where two or three are gathered together, there'll all be in the midst. Yeah, the Bible says that, but that don't mean that's a church. And that don't mean that's a replacement for church. And that don't give you an excuse to treat irreverently the sanctuary of God.
Right.
I just opt out of that. I don't go to church. I meet God down at the lake or on the river, or me and some of my buddies get together and we read the Bible and pray together and talk about God, and that's good enough. No, it ain't good enough. You're as morally wicked in doing that and thinking that way as an adulterer or a thief or a murderer. Amen. I'm getting sick and tired of everybody in this world putting such light esteem on the church that Jesus bought with His blood.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Church is important. It's vital to your survival as a child of God in this world. God put the highest importance upon it. And for somebody to put the lowest esteem to it and devalue it and detest it and have contempt for it. This shows how wicked their heart really is.
Amen.
That's just how I believe it too. And I mean it. I don't have a place in my understanding at all. There's no place for people who refuse to go to church and be a part of a church faithfully. I think they're lost.
Yes, sir. Right. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I agree with that.
To reverence means fear mingled with respect and esteem. Veneration. Oh, wow. All right, so listen to me. It means to attend to a thing that affects our interests or happiness, to fix the mind on as a matter of importance. So what do you think about the sanctuary of God? See that you reverence my sanctuary. What's a sanctuary? It's where the people of God meet together with God. They meet together, and God meets with His people in the sanctuary. That's more than one or two. That's more than two or three. It's God's people. It's a public gathering. It's a holy convocation, as the Old Testament calls it. And it was commanded of God for them to meet together like that. Public worship. Public preaching of the Word of God. It's always been that way. Ezra stood on a pulpit of wood, and he read the Scriptures, and they gave the understanding. Him and the other men gave the understanding. They caused the people to understand. They said, now this is what that means. And they told them. And the people wept. And they stood all day. They stood and listened to the Word of God. Did them some good too. Not such a bad thing. It's not such a punishing thing. It's not an unpleasant thing. To reverence, it means to place a high value on something. So how high value do you put on church? Attending church. Being with God's people. Listening to preaching. In person. You know, we had two Sundays here on the parking lot. And I don't know how many of you told me, oh, I can tell the difference in how you preach when we're out on the parking lot, not face to face. Well, yeah, there's a difference. It's different when you're looking at somebody in the eye.
Yes.
When you got your back to them talking. That's just how it is.
Yep. That's right.
So it means to place a high value on something. It means to have feeling and sentiment excited by the sacredness and importance of a person or place. Mm-hmm. That's what veneration means. That brings in feeling. How you feel about the church?
Right.
You love the church of God? Mm-hmm. Do you love to be at church? Well, not always. I'm tired sometimes. Well, you think you're the only one that's ever tired? What about the preacher? You think he's ever tired? Don't feel like it? Here's been my experience. The times that I have felt the least like it is when I got the biggest blessing. It's when it was the easiest for me. I remember one time down in Mexico, we were at a church and I was going to preach and I was so sick that I was just fighting, throwing up, sitting there. I was just battling it. And here I had to get up and preach. When I got up to preach, it just went away. It just vanished until I got done. And when I got done and come and sat back down, I was sick again. And it really happened that way.
Yes, it did. I remember that.
And I've been so tired that I couldn't hardly go. But I mean, I'm just saying, just cheer up. You're at church. Liven up. Set up. Listen. Focus. Pay attention. There's something to be gained. You're going to there's something to be lost if you fool around and sleep and miss it.
That's right.
It means to have feeling and sentiment, excited by the sacredness and the importance. Church would be so much different. Services would be so much different everywhere if people came and there was a preacher that would preach to them. And they would be excited about what they're going to hear.
Yes, sir.
What they're going to learn. What God was going to do this time. Have you ever been to church like that? I have.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there. Been there when it was that way. Everybody came with anticipation and hunger. And God did things.
Yes, sir, He did.
Because people were were receiving. And a lot of times you go to church and nobody's receiving. There ain't nothing being accomplished much. That's disrespect. That's irreverence for the sanctuary. When we reverence something or someone, it is basically just the response of our heart and mind to what we hold dear and precious to us, as well as most vital to our lives. So you see what I said a while ago about holiness? Ye shall be holy. That's what this is all about, being holy. Reverence in the sanctuary. If your heart's right, you have the right feeling, the right attitude about it all. You like to come. You look forward to coming. Church don't have to be the best for you to feel that way. You know? There's a lot of people, most people go to church where there's just not much there to be had. Except grief. Grieving your soul at what's said and what's done in the place.
Yes, sir.
And the place defiled. But a real child of God can go there with anticipation and look. And God is the one who speaks to people. It ain't the preacher. And if you go there with a hungry heart and an honest heart, a right heart before God, God will feed you there.
Yes, sir.
Just as well as anywhere. I promise you that's the way it is. If He can speak through a donkey to a prophet, He can speak through some worthless prophet to you. If you're looking for it. Yes, He will. I believe that. So I don't believe that's an excuse for just laying at home and watching TV and not going to church because you can't stand a preacher. I know more than a preacher. I've heard that lots of times too.
Yes, sir.
I don't really think they do.
No.
So to neglect to go to the sanctuary of God with God's people is a violation of moral law, which is by definition a sin, S-I-N. Let's just see if I can get any response out of this out there that people listen to. You ought to go to church. And if you don't, if you refuse to, it's a sin.
Yes, sir.
I agree with that. Disobedience.
It shows your irreverence for the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
And you're in violation of what He says is holiness.
Right.
And the real problem is in your heart.
Right.
Because you feel that way about the sanctuary of God.
Right.
You have another truth. You have made up your own religion. You're an idolater.
Yes.
That's what I believe about people who refuse to go to church.
Amen.
It shows disrespect and disregard for a thing most holy and important. Sabbath and sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Two things God puts very important. Most important. And you say, it don't matter. I don't believe you got to go to church. I don't believe you have to go to church to be a Christian. I do.
Yes, sir. I do too.
I do. I believe if you refuse to, I don't believe you're a Christian. What in the world? You think you're going to go to heaven, but you refuse to go to church? You got enough faith to get you to heaven, but it won't even get you to church?
No, it's not there.
Oh, you're believing a lie.
Yes, sir.
Of your own heart and of a bunch of fools in this world. Wicked fools who have told you such nonsense.
Yes, sir, that's right.
You shall reverence my sanctuary. I know a bunch of people that are so stinking religious that they can't go to church. Because they know so much more and they're so much wiser and they're so much more spiritual than anybody they know that goes to these churches. And I'll tell you what I believe about those people. I believe most of them are going to bust hell wide open.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They're arrogant. They're rebels is what they are.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't the spirit of Christ.
No.
Christ went right in those synagogues where all those Pharisees and scribes and everybody was that was causing all the trouble. He went in there faithfully, as was his custom.
Yes, sir.
So did Paul. So did Peter. So did all of them. They didn't quit because it was filled with wickedness and the leaders were all corrupt. It's God's sanctuary.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to hear anything true, you're going to hear it in the church. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You ain't going to hear it at work or down at the coffee shop or the gas station.
That's right.
Or on the TV.
No.
Or anywhere else that the wicked gather themselves together and run their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
It shows even more than the disrespect and disregard for the holy things of God. It shows even more than that. It shows contempt for God. Contempt for His law.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people that say, I don't believe you got to go to church to be a Christian. I wonder how many of them even knows the Bible says this.
Right.
That ye shall reverence my sanctuary.
They don't read.
No.
No. They read Matthew 7. Thou judge not that thou be not judged. That's all they read.
Yeah.
They don't even read that. They've just heard that. And somebody told them, that's in the Bible. Yeah, that's what I like. To neglect, or they got contempt for God, His law, and His people.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people refuse to go to church? Because they don't want to be around them people. Well, if you hate God's people, you're in darkness. The Bible says that too.
That's right.
If you don't love the brethren, you're in darkness. That's what the Bible says, plain as day. Multiple times in the New Testament. Can't stand God's people. Well, who you think's going to heaven?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who they think's going to heaven. The whoremongers and the adulterers and the thieves and the drunkards. Because they write poems about it. And then the people in the churches pass it all around.
Oh, yeah.
Like when we get to heaven, it's just going to be a big reunion of all the heathens down here on earth. You're in for a big surprise.
Yes.
Nobody going to heaven. The thief and the drunk. Those people are the very ones that are listed in the Bible as don't be deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, adulterers, thieves. And a whole long list of all those people in that stupid poem says they're not going to heaven. Specifically. So they don't read the Bible, do they? They don't reverence His word. They don't reverence His sanctuary. They don't reverence Him. They hate His people, and they think they're going to heaven. Somebody's badly mistaken. And a bunch of people are badly misled and misleading others.
Yes, sir. It's true.
To neglect or to refuse to go to the sanctuary of God at the appointed times for meeting is to identify yourself as one who does not know God and doesn't want to know God.
Right.
Then the sanctuary is where you find Him.
Yes, sir.
It's where you understand. We're fixing to read all that. There's a lot of reasons for being faithful to the house of God. Just like the Sabbath, God didn't intend for His sanctuary to be a burden on people, but a blessing. I've been in church a long time. I've seen some bad things and I've seen some good things. But I can't imagine life without going to church and meeting with God's people. I just can't imagine what it would be like. We missed one service. Because of weather or problems or sickness or whatever this thing, this mess been going on. I just feel terrible. It's just like, this is just wrong.
Yeah.
I feel robbed. I feel like I've lost something. I've missed something.
Mm-hmm.
And you do miss something.
Yes.
Every time you're not in the house of God at the appointed time, you miss something.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's real important,
yeah.
Vital. To your life, your well-being, your children, your future.
Yep.
And you miss it.
Yep.
And what is wrong with all these people that just don't place any importance on it? Just show up once a week, maybe. Once every few weeks. Once every few months. Just don't need it. It's just a little extra thing that they just come and endure to soothe their conscience or something.
Yep.
I don't want to miss nothing.
No, sir.
I don't want to take a chance on missing something that God had for me. Man, I've been in church and heard things that changed my life.
Yes,
forever.
Yeah.
What if I miss it? Man, if the righteous scarcely be saved, you don't want to miss nothing. So he didn't mean it to be a burden, but a blessing. It shouldn't be a burden to you to come to church, to lay everything down, come to church. Those who make it a burden have missed the entire meaning of it all. All right, faithful attendance to the sanctuary of God is like it's like a guiding light in our lives. It's there that we hear the Word of God. It's where we hear the Word of God.
Yep.
Well, I've been to church a lot of times. I didn't hear much that helped me. But boy, I've been there a few times when I did. You ought to count it a great blessing if God speaks to your heart often through the preaching of the Word of God. But it ain't going to happen in your car. It ain't going to happen watching movies at home. And it ain't going to happen, you know, being off somewhere out of pocket and missing it. It just ain't going to happen. It's here, it's there at the sanctuary that we hear and see the testimonies of God's people. We all talk about people we've known through our life that have been in church. It just made an imprint on us that we never forget just because of their testimony. We just mention names all the time of people. What if I'd have never met Brother Earl? Oh, so many more. What if I'd never met Brother Owen?
Yeah. Right.
So many. There's so many more through my life. I can just sit here and just, it's just like a ticker tape going right in front of my eyes. I can just see face of dear old souls. I would have never known them. I would have never been affected by their testimony. I would have lost greatly. I mean, I would have, it would have been a great thing for me to miss. And if I hadn't been in church, I wouldn't have met them. Because that's where I met them. I wouldn't have met them anywhere else. People all over the world. Roberto's wife messaged this morning. Wants to do something for him, for Brother Roberto, for next week. Because this is Pastor Appreciation Month, you know. I mean, they're buying their pastor, not them. But I seen where some of them was buying them a new, one pastor got a new pickup truck this week.
That.
Yeah. Is that what she's going to do? Yeah. But anyway, I'm off here. She wanted me to make a video and send to him just to say something. Because he thinks so much of you. Well, I remember when he called me on the phone. I'd been getting missionary calls from all kinds of Filipinos. And I said, no, brother, no, I just can't do it. No. And I held him off for about 30 minutes. And finally I said, well, okay, all right. Well, those are the kind of things that you get in the sanctuary. Nowhere else. And God made it. He set it up, designed it that way. So that we could be a blessing to one another. And not just our little group, but others passing through. And that's how it works. It's there we hear the testimonies and see of other people. It's there we find the presence of God with His people. That's what I just long for. Some of you, I don't know if you've ever experienced being together with God's people and God present. I mean, in a special way. God's with us. But there's times when God manifests Himself.
Yes, sir.
In a very special way. We preached Sunday about David and all the people gathered together. And, you know, God was there. When Solomon dedicated the temple, you know, the glory filled the house. I mean, it was the presence of God. You can't do that online. You can't do that with parking lot services. You can't do that sitting down on the creek bank somewhere.
No.
God manifesting Himself to the people all together. You can read about it in the Bible. Read about it when God came down on the mount in the sight of all the people. Man, what a stir. What a thing it did for everybody. This don't happen when you don't reverence the sanctuary of God. When you don't count it as important. You don't count it as necessary. You don't count it as anything worth feeling about. Do you love the church? Do you really love it? Is it? What's it worth to you? What is it worth to you? It ain't even worth getting out of bed and putting on some decent clothes for most people.
That's right.
Yeah. Ain't even worth that. Not even. It's worthless to them. It's contemptible to them. And they think they're going to heaven. Well, if they're listening to me now, they've been warned. Woe unto them if they do not take heed to the truth.
Amen.
They ain't no excuse. Ain't no excuse you can give me, but what, it's going to be lame. There's no excuse.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about people that are sick or in the hospital or unable and all of that, but a lot of people that are unable could really get there if they wanted to. Man, I've seen people drug into the church, carried into the church. They carried people to Jesus.
Yes.
I've seen people come to church when they, I don't know how in the world they made it. But they made it because they didn't want to miss.
I've seen one in a real hospital bed.
Yes.
Yep.
Sure did.
Uh-huh.
It's there we find the sweet fellowship of the saints. There's no other thing in the world that's like the fellowship of the saints of God. Now, I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill church where everybody's there just full of the devil and they're hating and gossiping and hating on one another. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real people of God and their fellowship together. There is nothing on this earth that compares to it or is a substitute for it. Ain't no club, ain't no society, ain't no kind of organization, no kind of social activity or function that you can go to that even comes close. Anything like the fellowship of the saints. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye love one another.
Yes, sir. That's right.
People down at the gym don't love one another. Mm-hmm. Not that way. People on all these clubs and societies, they don't love one another. God's people do. Mm-hmm. So, well, I wish I had a church like that. Well, the way they start is when you get people like that together. Yeah, that's what happens. Let's start with somebody. How about you? You know. It's there we find godly examples of what a Christian really is and make friends for eternity. Just like what I just said there about our brother over there around the halfway around the world. Without all these benefits, We're just wandering around like lonely nomads in a desert of this world without any guidance, encouragement, without any inspiration, without any initiative. We're just wandering around without the sanctuary of God in our life. It's in the sanctuary that we get understanding when we are confused. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 17, He said, my foot was about to slip. He said, I was just about to give up. And he said, when I thought on these things, he said, I didn't want to tell them to my children unless he didn't want to even say them, lest I offend the generation of my children. He said, I can't say what I'm thinking. It'd cause my children to turn against God and have no hope. He's in bad shape. I mean, he was so discouraged that he was just about to wipe out. Until, he said, I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Then understood I their end. Because he was thinking about the wicked and how they were just making fine without God. And verily I've cleansed my hands in vain. All I'm doing is serving God and all I get is bad breaks. And nothing but bad things happen to me. And well, I'd just about as well be like them. He had his eyes on the waters, like Peter did, you know. And he's sinking. But he went into the sanctuary. Guess what he saw there? God. He went into the sanctuary and guess what he got? Hope and light and understanding. Because he went to the sanctuary. Yes, sir. He didn't go to the bar. He didn't go to the gym. He didn't go down to his friends where they hang out and talk to them. He didn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Fat People's Anonymous. What's that bunch? What is it? Weight Watchers. Yeah. Where you can all sit around and hold hands and tell each other how fat you are, what a drunk you are. And feel sorry for one another. Well, that's what most churches are too. They're just support groups for the wicked sinners. That are just sinners generally. It's in the sanctuary that we receive help when we're in time of need. Listen to this, Psalm 20, verse 1 and 2. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Here's what he said. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. He knew where to get help.
That's right.
And he told us 3,000 years ago. Let me ask you something. Where would any help come from? If everybody neglected and disregarded and esteemed lightly the house of God like so many do now. I say that to people once in a while. When I hear that junk come out of their mouth, I say, well now, where would the church be? How would there be any church if everybody's like you? Who would preach? Who would go do anything? Where would you get any help when you need help for your soul? Who would you call to pray? Everybody calls to pray for my loved one. When they're in big trouble, they want people to pray. I'm talking about wicked, ungodly people who are the ones who say, I don't believe you got to go to church to be a Christian. Whenever they're in trouble, they call on church people. They call on people who do go to church to pray for them. Because they can't pray. You don't reverence the sanctuary of God, you can't pray. And you know you can't.
That's right.
That's why you got to find somebody that you think can, and you don't think anybody can unless they go to church.
Exactly right.
That's right. It's in the sanctuary that we see and feel and know the presence and power of God. Now, I know God has touched me. He spoke to my heart. He has done things for me that I won't even share with people by myself. But that would have never happened if I hadn't been in the sanctuary of God.
That's right.
That's right. I know that's right. If I hadn't, the things I've learned that have saved my soul, that have sanctified me, that have made me understand, I got them. In the house of God. Well, I've heard a lot of junk too. But never mind that. What did I get? Was it worthwhile? Oh, yes. Would I change it? No, sir. Would I go to church less? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Never. Psalm 63, verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. That's where you feel and see and know the presence and the power of God. In the sanctuary.
Yep.
Among God's people. God manifests himself and speaks to hearts through the preaching of the word of God. Now that's just the way he does it. Singing? No. That just does not register right in my soul, knowing what I know about the word of God, what God has said. I've been in services where somebody get up and sing and everybody just go bananas. I mean, shout and run and scream and holler and get happy. Then the preacher get up to preach and they just go to sleep.
Yep.
That's fake, phony, worldly, carnal mess is what that is. If you get excited about singing and you can't stand preaching, you ain't nothing but a deceived soul. You ain't getting happy about God. Somebody put on there yesterday, I showed her today, some concert, some of our Christian concert, and dark and the smoke and the banging and devil's music right out of hell. Everybody praising the devil's what they're doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That ain't God.
Nope.
I got enough sense to know the difference, and it astounds me that people like that don't.
Yep.
You know why? Because the sanctuary ain't too important to them.
Yeah.
They can take it or leave it.
Yep.
They don't have to go to church. Don't need it. They know enough to get by without it. Then they end up in places like that.
Yes,
worshiping the devil. Fools. There's no way to even estimate the loss suffered by those who neglect and refuse to come to the house of God. You shall reverence my sanctuary, or you're going to be a big loser. God ain't going to be the loser. You're going to be the loser. We see God working in the sanctuary, in the lives of people, and we learn the ways of God. And if we miss this, we learn the ways of the heathen instead from the world. You go in one way or the other. If you won't come to the sanctuary and learn the ways of God, then you're going to learn it from the world. Simple as that. You're going to learn the world's ways. See, Psalm 68, verse 24. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. How do you know God? How do you get to know him and understand him? In the sanctuary. It's where you get your guidance. That's where you get your bearings. That's where you get readjusted each time you come. It's where you get inspired. It's where you get encouraged. It's where you get challenged. It's where you get corrected. In the sanctuary. By the word of God. By God moving. Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God. See, anybody know what the next words are? Is in the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So we learn of and we experience the glory of God in the sanctuary. It didn't happen in their tents out there in the desert. You know, it didn't happen when they was grumbling and mumbling and murmuring and complaining and all doing their daily things. God met with them. Where? In the sanctuary. We worship God with his people in the sanctuary. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You hear a song?
Yep.
Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. The firmament of his power. Where's that at? There is a place like no other place. A shelter in the time of storm. where God's children meet in fellowship sweet. You hear the song? I wish I could sing. I'd sing it. And the Spirit of God keeps them warm. It's the nearest thing this old world has to offer to the glory that God has in store. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. That's veneration, is what we talked about a while ago. That's the feeling, that's from your deepest soul and your heart's desire. The sanctuary, to be with God, to be with God's people, to see His power, to see His glory, to see His goings, see Him working in the hearts of people, to see your children come to know Him and praise Him and follow Him and tell others. That's His goings in the sanctuary. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell. That's a continual thing. Not they that visit, they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. Attitude. What's on the inside about the house of God? There you go, right there. That's how it's supposed to be. That's why that's in the Bible. Ye shall reverence my sanctuary. Ain't hard. It's not a burdensome command. It's a blessing that God has given us.
Yes, amen.
Psalm 122, verse 1. Again, a song of degrees of David. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say, oh no, I got too much to do. I got business to take care of. Not again. Why do they want to have so much church? No, he said, I was glad. Drop anything. The king's business. It don't matter. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of our God. House of the Lord. All right. Psalm 27, verse 4. This is David again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Now, what do you think? He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Well, this one thing I'm going to seek after. Because he said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David said, if I had my way, I'd be in the sanctuary every day of my life. I wouldn't be out here fighting Philistines and dealing with problems, and I wouldn't be a messing with all of this. If I had what my heart's desire is, I'd want to be with God and God's people all the time. Every day. All the days of my life. But then we got this. Here's this other attitude, Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity. You defile my sanctuary. What are we supposed to do? Reverence the sanctuary. Not defile it with detestable things. So, Leviticus 19:30. I hope you'll remember this. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. It's for our good. It's for God's glory. So stay faithful to the house of God.
Amen.
It's for your good. I promise you, you will not be sorry when you're old. You're never going to get old and say, boy, I wish I hadn't spent all that time at church. I just wasted my time. You're never going to do that. Never going to do that. In your dying moments, you're going to be thanking and praising God for everything you got in the house of God. And for every time you were able to go. And every time that there was somebody there to preach to you the truth and encourage you and had something to say to you. I don't know. You know, I don't think much of myself, but I do know this. I know that when I've been out in these other churches and I know people that go there and I see what's there and, man, to go and not hear. To go and just dance around a little bit and have a pep rally and go home. Baptists used to make a joke about it. Said Baptists meet, eat, burp, and go home. About got it right. That's the best service they can come up with. Sanctuary. There's a whole lot more that could be said about this. You know, reverence the sanctuary. It ought to be treated as a holy place because of what goes on here. But it's more about who is here. Who's here? I mean, if it's just a bunch of lost people gathered together to have a good social time together and God never shows up, ain't nothing holy about that. If there's some real people of God there and God visits even occasionally, then it's a holy place.
Yes, sir.
You ought to reverence the house of God. Reverence my sanctuary, says the Lord. It's for your good. And I'm thankful for the sanctuary. Man, I'm glad it's set up this way. I don't begrudge any time that I've spent in the sanctuary.
No.
Anywhere. It's been good for me. Even the bad has been good for me. When I had to listen to stuff I didn't believe and it was just grievous to my soul, it made me dig in about what I really believed and study and examine everything and search it out more. So it's good for me. It's good for you. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for the sanctuary. And Lord, help us to appreciate and value and esteem highly and reverence the sanctuary. And to remember your Sabbaths. Lord, help us to understand this. I know I've said some very strong things tonight, and I believe them. I believe every word I said. I believe it's right. I know it won't be accepted. I know people just reject it out of hand because they don't understand. I pray you'd help us tonight, the folks that are listening here. Take it to heart. Help them to love coming to church. Because it's church and because of your presence and because of the Word of God that we learn here and able to hear. Lord, help these that don't. Lord, just so many I talk to people and hear from them and they're in a very hard spot because they don't have a good place to go where they can hear the truth all the time. And Lord, help them. They can go and they can be a blessing. They can spread a little light where they are. And I pray you'd help them to do that. Lord, get us home now. Pray safely. Bless their lives. Work in our hearts, in our homes and families. In Jesus' name, amen.